I want to read just a little bit from over in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be converted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now I want you to listen just a minute to this reading. This is why that men with all the learning that they have are so ignorant. You would wonder why men that study so much are so ignorant. This is why that they are so ignorant. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and full-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which committest such things. Now one of the thoughts I'd like to dwell on tonight is the 17th verse. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But one thing I'd like to say in referring back to the theme of my thought here. People, you've heard me say this a number of times. People who are not sons of God, they don't like to face this issue. They don't like to accept this fact. But it is a true God fact. It is not a theory. It's not theology. It's not something we've theorized. We're not a theologian. We're preaching facts. We're not from a school of theology. This is facts. The world doesn't like it. But people who are not Christians or who are not the elect of Christ are beasts. Not all of them are brute beasts, but they all are beasts. And I say again, a beast is something that is dwarfed in its mind or in its understanding. You must train a beast. A horse has to be trained. A dog has to be trained. An elephant has to be trained. Anything that is a beast has to be trained. That is why that God in the beginning, let there be such a thing as the tree of knowledge. That is why God let there be such thing in the world as knowledge. Because God saw that the beast world would be in power. And that the beast world would be in rule. And that beast have to be trained. And beast have to be taught. And for Lucifer to be in power, and for Lucifer to rule the world, he had to do it through beasts, because he cannot do it through sons of God. He cannot do it through children of God. He cannot be the prince of this world through sons and daughters of God. Therefore, he has to do it through the beast. He worked through the beast to get to Eve and to get to Adam. Doing that, God allowed a tree of knowledge. Not only did God allow the tree of knowledge, but God also knew that beasts could not teach beasts. Therefore, he allowed a son of God by the name of Adam to fall from his lofty state of righteousness and from the presence of God, coming out from the Shekinah glory of God, that he might be the first among them in the earth, that he might teach the beast. And so then God let Adam come down to the level of the beast, that he might become the head of the beast, that he might be the chief leader of the beast, and that he might teach the beast. And so then through this, the beast of the earth became educated and the Babylonian systems of education and colleges and schools and training centers were soon set up as the years begin to progress and as time begin to go by. Then schools and places of learning begin to come into view, and God begin to train the beast. Just as you would take the dog, as I've said so often, take the dog and tell the dog to sit down. Tell the dog to give you his paw. You say, give me your right paw, give me your left paw. And you keep on till you train the dog. And you tell the dog to roll over, the dog to stand up, the dog to sit down. And so the beasts are taught that. The only thing that they know as beasts is what they are taught in college and what they're taught in school. And they don't know anything else. This is why the world today is a Babylon. They are not of a good understanding. The Bible said all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. Said, for the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, or upon them that are born of God, and shall make them of a quick understanding. But them that are in the world are not of a quick understanding. All they know is what they study, and they have to make comparison with numbers, and it's a numerical process. And they have to do it according to a scientific approach. They have to have a formulated means. Or they have to learn it through alphabetical approach. And this is the only way that they can determine anything. And when you take them out of this realm, they can't do anything. It's like a person that learns music by note. There are those that learn to play the piano. They learn it by note. They learn to play the guitar by note. They learn to sing by note. They learn music by note. Those are not musicians. Those are not born talents. Those are people that have been trained to do that. You can take the same individual that plays by note and try to get them to play something that they don't have sheet music on and they're completely lost. I've tried to get them to do it on different occasions. They're completely lost. They don't know how to do it. They have to have the notes before them. But you take a person that's got a musical talent, that musical talent is inbred within them. And you can set them down to that piano or give them a guitar or give them some kind of musical instrument. And if they've never heard a song before, you just hum it just a little bit, and that melody will strike their ear, and the first news you know, they're running across the keyboard, and they just play it right out. They play the melody right out. See, that is the way it is with God. It is an innermost thing. A person that is a Christian, God has given them an innermost thing. That is an outstanding, innermost ability that the world doesn't have. The beast of this world doesn't have it. Beast, those that are out there in those offices, they don't know anything except what they're trained for. The world has learned that the assembly line is the best system that they can use. Because the person that is beastly, you can train them to do one thing. You can put them to work like a machine and let them do the same thing over and over, and they become efficient at it. Just over and over and over. Don't give them two or three things to do. Just let them do one thing over and over till they get their mind programmed at it. And they'll do it real good. And set up an assembly line, and you can just do it right on. Just work them like a robot. But a person that's a Christian, they don't work good like that. They want variety. They want change. They want to think for themselves. They want to do something to where they can experiment with it themselves, to where they can find out something themselves. They don't like this thing of being confined to one thing, and that is just to a numerical order. or a scientific formula or an alphabetical approach. They want to venture out into something that somebody don't know anything about. That's why they pray. That's why they talk to God. That's why you find them around meditating sometimes. They're not sitting around saying ABC, 1, 2, 3. They're not doing that. They're sitting around somewhere talking to God, meditating. Or they'll be reading their Bibles, thinking about the great world beyond. They're thinking about that invisible world, that there's nothing written about. See, God, here in His Word, He speaks like this. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. But the Bible said, all men have not faith. Beasts have not faith. Beasts cannot believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no way a beast can believe in the faith of Jesus Christ. You know why? It isn't because a beast doesn't have a soul. A man has a soul, a beast has a soul. Man become a living soul, so a beast also lives. And the Bible speaks of the soul of the beast. But the difference is the beast don't have the conscience. He doesn't have that thing that keeps him straight. He doesn't have that thing on the inside that man has, that Paul spoke of, where I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and toward God. Two dogs get together, they don't have any conscience as to who ought to have the bone. If there's a bone laying there, as far as they're concerned, the one that can get a hold of it, that's the one that ought to have it. That's why Jesus called the people beast out yonder. And He called them dogs. Let there be a fortune out there. Let there be an inheritance out there. Let there be a fine automobile. Let there be a good deal out there. And see if one dog considers the other dog, when they say it's just dog eat dog. See if they don't try to figure out the way to get the best deal. See if one man don't try his best to take advantage of the other man, or to outsmart the other man, that he can wind up on the best end of it. But take a real, genuine son of God, and I'll guarantee he won't do it that way. He'll never do it that way, because he's got a conscience. His conscience won't let him do it that way. You say, well, Brother Pike, I've seen a lot of Christians do that. You never seen a Christian do that. You might have seen a lot of religious people do that. But I'm talking about sons of God. Look at the Bible. When Abraham and when Lot had the little problem down there, Abraham told Lot to pick what he wanted, and Lot picked it. Isn't that true? Because Abraham told him to. Now, where was the greater love, in Lot's heart or Abraham's heart? It was in Abraham's heart. Isn't that right? The Bible speaks of Abraham being the father of the faithful. Isn't that right? It didn't mean that Lot didn't have anything, because, as I say, Lot didn't steal it. Abraham gave him the choice, and he took it. But Abraham is the example. The man that's really got God down in his heart, and really filled with the things of God, and really going on with God, he'll do his best to see that you get the best end of the deal. You know why he will do that? Because he is a believer in God. And he is fully persuaded that if he treats you right, that God's going to treat him right. I've seen people so many times, I've made mention of this to my wife, I've seen people so many times, they go to trade off an automobile, and they'll say, you know, I hear one talking to the other, and they'll say, boy, you better get rid of that thing. I say, well, why? I say, well, it's about shot. Are you listening? Somebody says, got about everything you can get out of it, you better get rid of the thing. Get you another one. Oh, let somebody else have the trouble, they say. Isn't that some more way to do? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, how should you do? The way you should do is if you're fixing to trade a car and the motor's fixing to blow up in it, put a new motor in it and then get rid of it. So that whoever gets the car will get a good car. And then when God gives you a car, he'll give you a good car. But you give somebody a bum steer, as the world says, and God will see that you get a bum steer. Somebody say, oh, I've traded off an old junker and wound up with a good Cadillac. Yeah, and down the road wound up with a wreck. Or wound up losing something better. Or wound up losing a child. Wind up having problems in your home. Or wind up in the hospital. If you'll go back and check it all out, you had a hard time down the road somewhere else. Every time you take something from somebody and mistreat somebody, God is going to take something from you somewhere. Brother, when you treat people right, God's going to treat you right. The Bible said, do unto others as you would have others to do unto you. Or God could have said, do unto others the way you want me to do to you. Because the way you do to others is the way I'm going to do to you. He could have said it that way. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said if you don't forgive men their trespasses from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. It sounds like he done to you what you done to the other fellow. So then, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Well, that is the word of God through the mouth of the ministry is expressed to us as to what God desires and what God wants and God's feeling about the situation of life and the things that pertain to life. So it's made known to us his desire, which is called his righteous way of living. And besides that, faith cometh by the hearing of the word, his righteousness, which is his own finished works of Calvary. Our justification comes through believing in the finished works of Jesus Christ. So we see what a beautiful thing it is. God wants to do something for us. God wants to bless us. Why? Because we are not beasts. Even though God has given a day of grace so that he can bless the beast. But we are not beasts. We don't have to have a college. We don't have to have a school. Moses didn't have a college. Moses didn't have a school. Moses didn't have hospitals. Moses didn't have all of the things that they have in the world today. And the Bible said, yet they had everything that heart could wish for. God took care of them. You say, but Brother Pike, we're dependent upon these things. I agree with you. We're dependent upon the industries. We're dependent upon the doctors. We're dependent upon the dentists. We're dependent upon the educators. I agree with you that we are. But why are we dependent upon them? Because we quit depending upon God. When people thoroughly, completely depended upon God, they did not have to depend upon all of the arms of flesh. But when they turned to Egypt and quit depending on God, then what else was there to depend on? And they've been under the curse ever since. The Bible said, cursed is the man that goeth down into Egypt for his help, or cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh. The Bible said, any man having put his hands to the plow, looking back into Egypt, is not fit for the kingdom of God. So then, we are not beasts. God doesn't want us to be beasts. We don't have to be trained like a beast to say this or that, to get up, to go to bed, to sit down. We can think for ourselves. We can be a sovereignty. But let me tell you something. When we ourselves, of our own selves, willingly submit, surrender, give up because of our own desire,
We give up our freedom. We give up our sovereignty. And we become God's prisoner because we want to be God's prisoner. Then the Bible said, he that becometh God's prisoner is God's free man. If I willingly give myself to God, I don't have to follow God. I don't have to submit to God. I don't have to honor God. I don't have to obey God. Somebody says, but you've got to do it. I don't have to do it. I'm a man. I can do what I want to. I can go where I want to. I can say what I want to. I'm a sovereignty. God made me that way. God wouldn't have me no other way. That's why he let the fall come in the garden, so that man could be a sovereignty. But if I choose to follow God, if I choose to surrender my will to God, if I want to go to God, go God's way, and I want to go to God for every direction of life, if I want to acknowledge God in all of my ways that he might direct my path, if it's my full desire, my earnest, sincere desire to just do exactly what God wants done, then that's a different situation. And brother and sister, that's the way I feel. I want my every thought, my every intent of heart, every impulse of my body. I want everything concerning me, every reflect of my mind, to glorify God and to be like Jesus and to follow Jesus and to express Jesus. I want every blood count, every blood count, to glorify God. I want it that way. I don't have many hairs in my head, but I want every one I got to glorify God. And I've tried to make all the rest that was there one time glorify God. I want everything that I possess to glorify God. I am jealous over my thoughts with a godly jealousy. I am jealous over my time with a godly jealousy. I don't like to waste my time joking and frolicking and talking and just sitting around fellowshipping and making money and doing things of the world. I'm jealous over my time with a godly jealousy, to the extent that sometimes even my family gets disturbed with me. But every hour, every minute, night and day, I want to give my mind, my thoughts, my life, my conversation to Jesus and the ways of Jesus, that I might express God in all of my life. I want all of my time, all of my thinking, all of my feeling, all of my ways to express and to glorify God. To me, I'm unhappy if I don't feel that I'm doing that. Now, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The Bible teaches from glory to glory. From faith to faith, from word to word, from scripture to scripture, from verse to verse. Revealed, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I preach the gospel of Christ. And I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it is the power of God. How is it the power of God? Because in the beginning was the gospel, and the gospel was God, and God is a spirit, and the gospel came forth and became a word and became flesh, and they called the gospel the Son of God. And he sent forth the gospel of the word, which was the power, and heal the sick. And by the gospel, by the word, by the spirit, in that he said, my words are spirit and life, he cast out the unclean spirits. And it's by the word of God that he spoke the world into existence. It's by the word of God that faith comes. And it's by faith in the powerful God word, who is a spirit. It's by faith in God, who is a spiritual word. It's by faith in the gospel that we can command God concerning the works of his hands or his promise, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us by his works at Calvary. Whatever Christ did, he did it in our behalf, that if I believe in the word of God according to the blood atonement as being sufficient for my righteousness, I don't have to draw back in faith or waver. Whatever I say will be done. So then it's a beautiful thing. We're not beasts, but we are appointed unto eternal life, and we are appointed unto salvation. We are appointed unto healing and the wonderful blessings of Almighty God. What a wonderful thrill it is to be a Christian. We are going to rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Why? Because the people of this world don't know what they're doing. There was a time when they had been trained, and it wasn't over their head. It wasn't too great for them. They knew and understood enough that they could operate. But now there's so much paperwork. Now there's so much confusion. So much babbling that Babylon can't get along without Daniel and the Hebrew children. There's no way. There's no way that the king can operate. His dreams and visions has got so complicated until he's got to call for Daniel to interpret those things. Isn't that right? The things down in Egypt has done got so complicated until there's nobody that can explain them. So the old king has got to reach down in the dungeon and call for Joseph and get Joseph up there to interpret the thing so that he'll know what to do to keep from starving to death. Isn't that right? That's the way that God does it. And so then the Babylon of today has got in such a condition that God has got to do something, bringing forth his Daniels and his Josephs at this time down in Egypt to answer the hard questions so that we'll know what to do. Is that right? So that they'll know what to do. So that the world will understand what to do. We're going to rise, take the kingdom, and possess it forever and ever. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right, I just thought I'd exhort you a little bit tonight. Let's stand together. A lot of things in the world that you can do, but the best thing that you ever done is serve Jesus. The song says, following Jesus one step at a time. It's good to see Danny and Stan back. They'd been gone off up into Marysville. I hope they had a successful time. They went up to witness a little bit to some folks. Hope everything turned out all right, Stan. Brother Clyde was just telling me how grateful that he was that God brought him to Little Bethlehem. I'm grateful for Little Bethlehem. I thank God for Little Bethlehem. You know, in the world today, they've got a little saying that if you don't love America, leave it. Really, that's not too bad a saying. If you really don't care for a place, it's not good to stay with it. It's not good to stay with it if you don't really care for it. Can we sing a chorus together? I need thee, Lord. I need thee. All the day I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, how I need thee. I want thee, Lord. I want thee.
want thee. I want thee always, precious Jesus. Oh, how I want thee. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll want him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, come to the Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn Jesus away. You know, a lot of times we turn the Lord away. We don't have to turn him away. But like Esau, we find things that's more striking to our human desire, a little more of an advantage in life. So then we make Jesus secondary. We just turn Jesus away. But there's one thing for sure. Though he might not seem to be of much value right at the present moment, yet when you get ready to cross over that chilly river called death, he's going to be worth more than all your gold, silver, all of your money, all of your prestige, all of your ambitions, all of your wealth, all of your personals, all of your treasures, all that you ever held dear to you. He's going to be worth more than anything that you have ever known at that moment. Because there's nothing that can get you across the river except Jesus. Nothing. We sing that song sometimes. Oh, how I'll need you. In that hour, Lord, I'll need you most of all. I need you most of all in that hour. I don't know about you, but to me, I've always felt like it was worthwhile to live all of my life just for that one moment. Just for that one moment. I've just always felt like it would be worthwhile if I lived every day, every hour, every minute, every second, every reflect of my mind, that if I lived every bit of it for that one moment, that the Lord would call my name and call me over the river. I've always felt like it would be worth it if I give all of my life for that one moment. It's one thing for sure, you can live 5 years for God or 10 years for God, or you might live so many hours out of the day for God, so many hours otherwise. But in doing that, you might just miss the moment, the hour or the day, the week or the month or the year that the Lord's going to call you. But it's for sure that if you live every day, if you live every hour, if you live every minute, if you live every second, if you live every intent of the heart without letting up, if you live it for that one moment, it's for sure that you ain't going to miss it. Because one heartbeat is going to be that last one. One of them has got to be the last one. One moment that you spend in this world has to be the last one. One hour that you spend here has to be the last one. And one day that you spend here has to be the last one. Isn't that right? You love Jesus? Glad to see our brother come in tonight. Been praying for the little boy that got shot over in Marysville. And Brother Raymond's sister's little boy. And been praying for him. We heard about it. We really went to God in prayer. And the Lord spared the little fella. We're so grateful. Real courageous little fella. Let's sing this little chorus. Swing low, sweet chariot. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming to carry me home, tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Sing it again. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming Carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads together. How wonderful to have eternal life, to be a Christian, to have eternal life. Oh, Ramandorama Shandoriandoramo Sandoramanaya. Holama Siandorama Shida Bariandoramandoramasaya. Holamandalialamo Sandorama Shida Bariandoramanaya. Andorama Sandoriarabo Shida Bariandoramataramanaya. Andalava Sandalialamo Shandalialamo Sandalamasaya. Ola mandala si andala ma shiara ma sandra manaya. Ola mandali ala mo shandari andara mo sandara manaya. Hallelujah. Ola mandara ma shandari andara basaya. Yea, and I say unto thee that the tabernacle of God is among men. Yea, and I shall dwell among my people. Yea, and I shall lead them to the fountains of living waters, and I shall dry all tears from their eyes. Yea, and they shall follow me, for my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. Yea, and I am among them, and I, the Lord God of heaven, shall dwell in their midst. And I shall lead them into the green pastures, and they shall sorrow no more, and they shall hunger no more, and they shall thirst no more. For I, the Lord God of heaven, have spoken it, that I shall bless them. Yea, blessing, I shall bless them. Yea, and multiplying, I shall multiply them, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Hallelujah. You know what? Some wonderful things are taking place. And I felt that tonight. I could just feel that. I could hear the Lord saying that. The tabernacle of God is among men. Praise God. How do you believe the tabernacle of God is among men? Hallelujah. He was talking about something the other night that was really beautiful. Something is taking place. Something has taken place. The landing of the shuttle out in the desert really has a great significance. Maybe another night the Lord sees fit. Maybe we'll speak to you, say something about it. Let's just bow our heads, a word of prayer. Ask my brother Junior to come up and dismiss us. I'd like for y'all to remember my mother. Just remember her in prayer. Ask God to especially undertake for her. If anybody else has got an unspoken request, might lift your hands tonight. By that, brother Junior, and all of us will remember it in this closing prayer. The Lord sees those hands.